Know Mihai already. You were with us this time last year,
yeah.
And have made a number of visits now over the years.
Yes.
But there will also be people here who are fairly new, and so don't know you. So just briefly, tell us about your family.
I grew up in a Christian family during the Soviet time. I'm married. I have 5 children and 5 grandkids.
Brilliant.
And I'm serving as a provost of the Christian University in Chisinau. That university has a ministry among Muslims, and we are reaching unreached people.
So the university is in Moldova, in the capital, but people come to the university from all over Central Asia.
Students are coming from 11 different countries, all post-Soviet countries, they are studying. We have from 20 to 30 different nationalities almost every year.
Brilliant. So we've got a kind of growing partnership with you. So Adam and Sarah came and visited you last year, didn't they? What did they see? They saw the university.
Yeah, they taught at the university, and we are looking to have them back in next fall.
There we go. And tell us about your church as well. So we're delighted you're here with us this evening. What's your church like?
Yeah. We have a young church. Church was planted among students in 90. Right after the Soviet Union collapsed, the communist collapsed, and college students came to the church. We organized the church in the school. Right now we have about 230 people, and also we have a nice group of children, and we praise God for that.
Brilliant. Well, let me pray for you now and for us, and then we'll... Yeah. Father, thank you so much for bringing Mihai here to be with us this weekend. We thank you for our partnership in the gospel, and we pray now for Mihai as he opens up your word. Please speak powerfully through him, and pray that you would change us as a result of what we think about together this evening. Amen.
Amen. Good evening again. For those who were in the morning, we discussed about the role of persecution and suffering. Where persecution and suffering as sign of the kingdom of God expansion. This evening, I will continue to share about confrontations and persecution and their role in Christian mission. The passage we just read is a very interesting passage. It's a passage taken from the mission field. And I'm traveling in the last 20 years. I am traveling 2 times or 3 times every year in Central Asia. Every time I'm going, I will visit 2 countries at least, or 3 countries. And times we are going together with Brother Ron. He is joining us also in Central Asia. And every time when I'm coming back from Central Asia, I bring greetings to our church from the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts continues today. As we see, this passage brought to my mind a lot of examples, a lot of stories I had with people on the mission field. And I will just like to share with you a few thoughts and then just give you some examples from the people, examples of people's stories. First of all, I would like to point to the confrontation and persecution in general, as we see in this passage. The Apostle Paul and Silas were confronted by a female slave who had bad spirit by which she predicted the future. And in verse 16, the second half, we read that she earned a great deal of money for her own self by fortune telling. She was giving hard time to Paul and Silas. You know, when we read the expression she was telling about the Apostle Paul, which says was nothing wrong. She was telling that they are the servants or living God. But I think in a way she was doing, because that was a evil spirit. Paul and Silas was not feeling well. But she kept that for several days. Then we see that solution came for her. And the solution is in the power of Jesus. Then one of the days, Paul turned to her and said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At the moment she, at the moment the spirit left her. You see, she confronted Paul and Silas, but the end was that she was delivered from the evil spirit. Also, secondly, we see that Paul and Silas were confronted by the owners of that slave woman. And, you know, most of the time, there are certain or specific things which are leading to confrontations and creating difficulties for people of God. And we see here a material interest of the owners of that lady. They were not enjoying that she was delivered from the evil spirit. They were not glad at all. But they were upset because they lost their income. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. You know, the material interest is a big confrontation on the missionary, on the mission field. I remember from my personal experience, I was traveling once to Tajikistan and then after that to Uzbekistan. And I was carrying some money for the programs we are running there. But when I get into Tajikistan, the officers there didn't give me a declaration. I begged for that declaration to declare the money. And I'm speaking several languages. I try every language I can speak to them. But they were showing that they don't understand any of them. I knew for sure that later, when I will leave the country, they will bring to me a declaration. And I saw it as a trap from one side and continued to beg for that declaration, but finally we could not resolve that. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you want to teach me or how you will use that. These are your money. We need to do the work there. And because it's impossible to transfer money through banks in some of those countries. And later, after 1 week, I was crossing the border between Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. And as I was guessing, in a few moments, a soldier came and gave me the declaration. I signed as much money I had there. And in a few moments, he came back and said, you know, the colonel is waiting for you inside. Okay, I knew for what he is looking for. But then he was very nice, very educated person, and asked me what I am doing there. I said, oh, I visited some churches. I met some people here, and he quoted something wrong from Islam. He was a Muslim. But I said, the Islam doesn't say so. And he looked at me and said, from where you know Islam? I said, I study it. Oh. And we started to talk. We talked for 1 hour. Then he brought tea. We continued to talk. Then, after 1 hour and a half, we talk about Islam, we talk about Christianity, we talk about Reformation, we talk about Hinduism. And after 1 hour and a half, he says, sir, you broke the law. But I enjoy the discussion. Every time when you come here, please find me. I will be glad to share. I will be glad to talk to you. But the most important point was that after that discussion, we ended talking what is the real prayer to God. You see, sometimes we can use even material interest of people to put ourselves in the hands of God, and God will use that in a mission on a mission fields. Also, as we see in this passage, there are cultural and religious issues which are creating or leading to confrontation as well. Who are Paul and Silas? You know, they were told, or they were brought to the officials because they were Jews. But, you know, those who brought them in front of the officials, they didn't ask them if they have something more. They are something more than Jews. They had a Roman citizenship, which is also very important. You know, I have double citizenship as well. I have Romanian and I have Moldovan. And this is legal. And I use them in different parts of the world. And what we see here, they brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar. They create a lot of problems because of their religion," they said. You know, working in a Muslim world, especially in the post-Soviet territory, where most of the people are speaking Russian as a second language. And when you are sharing the good news to these people, they say, "Oh, we don't want to hear about Russian God, because Russian persecuted us." But not Christian Russian persecuted them. Russian communists persecuted them. And all the time there is a barrier because of religious things, or cultural and religious things will raise up in front of the missionary who will like to take the good news. For that, I remember another story when one of our former students, when he had a cousin, and both of them were students at a university in the Tashkent city. And one day, his cousin invited him to visit a youth group. It was a Campus Crusade from Christ working in Tashkent. And she invited him to attend one of those youth groups. And he right away made a plan. Oh, she worships a foreign god. She worships Russian god. For that, he made a plan to kill her. But, you know, he was invited the second time, and at the same time, he had a plan B to find a situation or to get into the situation when he may kill his cousin. And after a few meetings, the Lord knocked on his heart. And finally, instead of killing her, he accepted the Lord. And at the end, right now, he is leading one of our underground schools there. God is working miracles using these natural things. And sometimes we just need to invite people, talk to people, and share the good news with them. And we don't know where God will take us. Also, this thing led, after all of that, the evil was unleashed over the heads of Jesus' disciples. And we see that the crowd joined and attacked Paul and Silas. And they were beating them severely and putting them into the prison. But we can observe here one very important thing. Paul and Silas didn't complain. They didn't talk about why that happens to them. But what they did? They sing. They were in Katie's group. They sing for the Lord. And God used these songs to open the door of the prison. You see, there are difficult times on a mission field. And right now I remember another case with another student of ours from the city of Gulistan. When one day about 30 policemen came with video cameras, surrounded the house where was the gathering, and they were waiting when people will go out. And after that, Most of them lost their jobs. One of our students, who was a lawyer, he lost his job as well. But after that, because he lost his job, the pastor put him in touch with our school. He became one of our students, and right now he's developing a great ministry in Uzbekistan. You see, it was a difficult situation. Something similar was what we see in this passage when the crowd of bad people just wanted to destroy these Christians, but God turned this persecution into a victory. Also, we see here that God acts in a supernatural way as well. God uses supernatural things to awaken people from the evil thoughts they had about Jesus' disciples. We see that suddenly, we read in the passage that suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, while the prison doors were open and everyone's chains came loose. And the jailer wanted to kill himself. The situation was not the expected one. But you see, God used this event not to destroy someone's life, but God just awake that jailer. Because if you see the whole picture, before that event, jailer was very cruel to Jesus' disciples. But right now, he is very open, and he just jumped in and asked, "What should I do to be saved?" What a change! God also uses natural things to bring judgment upon the intended evil. Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. You know, when I was studying, I was traveling to those countries when I was working on my doctorate, and every time they will allow people to go ahead, but they will keep me aside for a while and said, "What you are doing here?" I said, "I'm studying Islam." "Do you like it?" "Of course." And they will allow me go. Just they use one thought, which was very natural, very, very, you know, just simple thing. Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. And when the magisters heard that Paul and Silas are Roman citizens, they were afraid. I remember another case here. We had another student, and you will see him later on a picture. He is in the radio studio, but he was a student in Tashkent City. And to be a student in Tashkent City, you need to give a lot of bribes. But he was a believer and said, "I will not give bribes." And he was getting ready for the exam, studying hard, and he was not admitted to the exam. And several times he was going to the same cycle, and one day that professor told him, "You know, you don't understand what I'm asking for." And he looked at him and said, "You know, if you will know whose son I am, you will not ask for money from me." And then look at him, didn't know what to do. And you know what he did? He decided to let him take the exam. And he never paid bribes, because he is the son of the king. But he just said this phrase, if you knew whose son I am, you will not ask money from me. You know, then the second big principle here, we see that we understand that confrontation and persecutions play a specific role in revealing God's justice and salvation to the enemies of Christ. You know, the patient in persecution brings victory sooner or later. And the kingdom of God prevails. The jailer called the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. and everything was changed. He said, "Sir, what I should do? What a dramatic change. Once I was traveling from the north of Tajikistan to the capital city, and I had a devout, I was driving in a taxi with a devout Muslim. 14 hours through two mountain chains. And when I get into the car, he said, I am a devout Muslim. And since I become a Muslim, God blessed my life. I am very successful person." And we started to discuss, because 14 hours, we can discuss about everything. But you will see in a picture, the road is very narrow. There was a formal Silk Road in a history, just at the edge of the mountain. And times to times, when two cars will come closer and we are at the edge, some big car never pay attention if we are at where we are, where we are, pay attention that we are situated at the edge of the road. And he swore several times. When he did that, I looked at him and said, "What did you say?" He swallowed his words and we drove again. But another, again, he swore again and said, "What did you say?" Then the third time, I said, "You know, you told me that you became a devout person who worshiped God. Right now, did God clean your heart? Did he clean your tongue as well or not?" Then he turned to me and said, "Who you are?" I said, "I'm a theologian. When I'm believing God, I'm saying, when I meet God, my God is changing my heart and my tongue and everything in my life." You see here, the same situation. When this jailer met this supernatural situation, he asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus." It was very interesting how that meeting ended, that journey ended. At the end of our journey, when we reached the city of Dushanbe, he came to me and said, "Brother, thank you so much for traveling with me. Please, if you will be back, find me. Here is my address. And next time, I will take you for free. Just come. I enjoy to talk to you." You see, this is the situation we face also when we do the God's mission. Here, we observe the end of this story. The jailer took Paul and Silas at his home. He fed them. And we read in the Bible that they were very glad. The salvation came into their house. The people from the house heard the word of God. They accepted and they were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole household. If we do pass through suffering or persecution, and we endure persecution and suffering for the Lord, the happy ends come sooner or later. I remember another story, and I will finish with that. I was, several years ago, I met a person in Kazakhstan. Nurlan, his family is. He had a vision. He was laying on a bed for 9 days and nights, almost close to death, was not able to drink, was not able to eat anything. But after that, his room was filled with light, and he heard a clear voice, "Take your bed and leave home. Leave for home. Then when he came back home, his relatives, instead to rejoice and praise God for what God did, they said, oh, you betrayed us. Oh, you accepted the Russian God. You accepted the Russian God, and they started to persecute him. He was also involved earlier in martial arts. And one of his brother-in-law was practicing with him these martial arts before. But right now, he will mock him, and times to times, he will hit him on the face and remind him at the same time, you have no right to answer because you are a believer now. But after a while, he came to him and said, you know, I was wrong. Would you like to share with me that the good news you are talking about? And he shared with him the good news. Later, he came after 1 month again and said, you know, I have a strange feeling that I will die. Would you like to share with me again that story? And Nurlan shared it again. And as he was feeling, in a few weeks, he died. You see, God, if Nurlan will respond, he will not be able to witness to his brother-in-law and also to his family. When I met him, 10 years after his family kicked him out. He was married. He had 4 children. He was a president of a small business company. And he's supposed to run from that city and move to other city. But after 5 years, some of his relatives from his own family invited him back because they wanted to hear what happens in the hospital with him years ago. Then, as I mentioned, we're already 10 years, and when we met at the conference, he said, I'm going now back, and I'm going to a very important moment because I will go to meet with my father and mother-in-law. They are not believers, but they know that the entire family became Christians. And you know, God is working. Pray, I want to just remind you and tell you once again, pray and support the persecuted church. Pray for them because they are taking the good news to unreached people. And I will just show a few pictures. And in some of these pictures, you will see the real people I just talk about. Can you put the slides? Oh, yeah. Yeah, here is Jahangir, the guy who was at the university, and he, sitting in the radio office, he used to say, you know, when I am here, I see the millions of Uzbeks hearing the good news. Move to another one. Here, the school in Shymkent. It's not working. Yeah. Move up. This is a school in Siberia. All these pastors are from Tajik pastors. 3 of them were missionary in Afghanistan. One of them is Ibrahim, I shared this morning, who was facing Taliban several times and also facing Mujahideen in his home when they wanted to kill him. He is over there. And that's his son-in-law. This is the place where they worship at the moment in the city of Dushanbe. This is the lady I shared about this morning. She works with children. She has a big heart. God transformed her heart. From a formal criminal, she has a really mother's heart. Even she has no her own children, but she is taking care of the street children. And several of them were sent to study with us in Moldova. And this is a group in Tajikistan. They meet in homes. And they praise God together. Yeah? This is the school in Dushanbe. I was just there last November. It was my last time I visited. Yeah. And you see, from the USSR, through Republic of Moldova, we are reaching the Silk Road countries. And God used former Soviet Union to bring the good news to those people today. And as you see in front of you, there are some pictures from the Silk Road. This road I was traveling with my Muslim friend. And you will see the next picture will be with his car. Yeah, that's one more. Yeah, here is the car. You see that if there is a big truck coming in front of us and we'll be at the margin, will be very difficult. But he had no enough patience to. Yeah. If you want some more information, here is a leaflet. You can pick it. And it's about our school, about our programs. And pray for those who are unreached. And again, I'm very thankful for pastors, to leaders of the church who keeps this partnership with us. And we want to see even greater things together. And may God bless you all. Amen.